Guest speaker, Brother Rainey Webb.
If you are here this morning for class, you know, you heard a really great class covering the topic on the crucifixion and Christ's crucifixion and all of the details that went in with it. And certainly we know from Scripture that the crucifixion did happen. Christ was crucified for our sins. Not only that, but we know He was buried, and we know on the third day He rose again. You know, Scripture tells us this. We know these things are true. And along with that, whenever Jesus ascended into heaven, we also know the very truth of this one matter with that, and that is that one day Christ will return again. You know, all of us know that one day Jesus will return. The question that comes to the mind, especially with many out in the world, is when will Christ return? And unfortunately, in dealing with this, we see how many people out in the world will deal with this. You know, they misuse and misapply Scripture, and they have in mind these dates or these times in which the Lord will return. All of which that has been selected, that has done past, obviously we know that they were wrong. As a matter of fact, I remember here recently, I think within, well, it was a month ago, someone said that around the end of September, you know, that was when the earth was going to come to an end. Well, obviously, since we're here in October, we know that that individual clearly missed the mark. So we understand, and we'll look at it more, that we don't know when Christ will return. However, we want to make sure that we are prepared for whenever. I think one minister did a really good job of presenting this idea and helping us understand the suddenness of Christ's return. And I'm not going to do that here today, but certainly I want to present kind of the idea that he mentioned and that he had done in preaching this sermon. Before he preached the sermon, he had his wife set a particular time, just a random time that would go off. Only she knew what the time was that she had set. And so he got up there to go give the lesson, and he started off by giving the invitation first and letting everyone know of what was taking place. And then he went on to preach on the topic of Jesus' return and the end of the world. And sure enough, during that lesson, that timer at some point went off. And as soon as that timer went off, he immediately stopped and went down, and the singer came up to lead the invitation song. Certainly, that presents us a very strong mental image of just the sudden nature of Jesus' return. And that's the truth of it. We don't know when Christ will return. All we know is it will be a sudden return. But just so we know that that's the case, let's look and see what Scripture has to say about this. If you would like to, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. That's where we're going to begin in talking about this, is Matthew chapter 24. Now, when we look at Matthew chapter 24, we see the disciples ask Jesus two very specific questions. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, it says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" So we read that and we see this question, or these two questions that the disciples present to Jesus. The first question, as we read there, it says, "When will these things be?" In order to understand that, we have to look at the two previous verses where Jesus tells them about the destruction of the temple and how there would be no stone left standing as it was, you know, telling them of that destruction. So first of all, they wanted to know, when would that occur? And secondly, they wanted to know, when would the return of Jesus be, in the end of the age or the end of the world? It's interesting, I don't know how they equated those two things together to ask two separate questions, but nonetheless we see them asking these two questions. Now throughout most of chapter 24, Jesus deals with talking about the destruction of the temple. From that point to about verse 36, he goes in great detail of all the signs and everything that's going to occur so that they would know when that destruction would take place. But again, we don't necessarily want to talk about that, just we need to understand that that's what those verses there are talking about, from there to verse 35, are talking about the destruction of the temple, because unfortunately, many individuals take those verses and try and equate them to the end of the world, and actually that doesn't work. But now we get to verse 36. Jesus answers their question of when His return would be and the end of the age, just so they would understand exactly when that would occur. In verse 36 He says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but My Father only." So He presents that very clearly to us. He says, as far as when am I going to return, He basically says, I don't know. You know, the angels don't know. There's not a person on this earth that knows. He says, ultimately, the only one who knows of that is the Father. We know that God has set an appointed time of when Christ will return. You know, those things have been established and those things will occur. The thing is, we just don't know when that's going to happen. So again, just as I've mentioned before, but just to emphasize that point, there is no clear sign or no thing that will point to when Christ will return. There's nothing that we can look at and say, oh yeah, well that's a clear sign. I know that it's about time for Jesus to return. We don't have those. We know that Christ will return suddenly. And because of that, it's very important that we prepare. That we prepare for when Christ will return because of that unknown nature of His return. And Jesus gives us some examples so that we can understand the suddenness of His return and also the reason why we need to be prepared. The first example He mentions is that of Noah. And certainly we know the story of Noah and everything that took place there, of how the world was just wicked and corrupt. And so God told Noah He is wiping out the world with a flood. And only he and his family will be safe if they do as He commanded. Which certainly we know that's exactly what He did in building and preparing the ark. But in order to see this more, let's see Jesus talking about this in Matthew chapter 24, down in verse 37. He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So we read that, and some very clear points are made for us. And that is, looking at that day of Noah, we see how most of the world was during that day. You know, even though there's Noah building this ark, there's Noah preparing for this flood that God told them about, you look at the rest of the world. The rest of the world is just going on with their lives, as we read there. You know, they're eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage. Basically, their lives were continuing on as though nothing was going to change, as though everything will always be as it is. Meanwhile, we see Noah. We see what's going on there. There is Noah preparing for that flood, knowing that that's going to occur. Now, he doesn't know when. He just knows God's told him these things are going to happen. So he spends that time preparing the ark, building the ark as God had told them. We see the animals coming to the ark so that they'll survive the flood as well. All of those things taking place, but meanwhile, the rest of the world, they're just going on about their business. And so Jesus compares that to His return. Now, here we know that the Lord will return someday. And hopefully as a church, we're doing everything we can to spread that message to the world and let the world know that the Lord will return one day. So we need to prepare. We need to be getting ready for whenever that day is. You know, none of us know when it is, but we want to encourage the world and tell them to prepare for that day. And so that's what our goal is to tell that even though the flood was sudden, you know, Noah, he was able to survive it because he prepared. And likewise, we know that the return of Jesus, it's going to be sudden. It's going to be one of those things that happens very quickly, very suddenly. One of those things in which, you know, once it happens at that point, it's too late to do anything about. But right now, we have time to prepare. And so hopefully as a church, we're doing what we can to prepare for those things. And you know that we are diligent in studying, diligent in God's Word, looking forward to those things that we know are going to come whenever that time is in which they are set to occur. But meanwhile, as we see, most of the world, they're not preparing. Most of the world will continue to live life as they always have. You know, as we see read before, eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, their life is going to continue as normal. However, when Christ returns, because of that, you know, just as those individuals in the days of Noah, the people today will be lost. You know, and it's an interesting image to kind of think about and just imagine what it would have been like for those people outside of the ark when the flood came. You know, it's interesting to think, how would they have been responding to that? Would they have been beating on the walls of the ark, begging to come in, or, you know, looking for some type of way to escape what was happening? Yet we know that there was no escape for them because they didn't prepare. Likewise, when the destruction of the world comes, when Jesus comes back and this world comes to an end, if we've not prepared, there's nothing but destruction waiting for us at that point. So we have to ask ourselves, will we be prepared as Noah was prepared, or will we be found unprepared for the coming of the Christ? Because certainly while we're alive today, we need to make sure we're making those preparations. So that's one example Jesus gives us as far as looking forward to His return and expecting His return. He goes on a little bit further, and as we'll look at here in just a second, Jesus also compares His return to a thief. And we see a couple of the apostles of Jesus making very similar comparisons. Peter makes a comparison, and we know Paul in the comparison he makes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, where he talks about how the Lord will return as a thief in the night. So we see several examples of that found in Scripture. But let's see what Jesus says in regards to His return being like that thief. He warns of it again here in Matthew chapter 24, this time down in verse 43. He says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So here we see Jesus, again, giving this warning, this time using an example of a thief. And as he mentions there, we all know how thieves work. You know, a thief isn't looking for a crowded opportunity, or a thief's not looking to just barge right into a crowded home or a vehicle that has people in it. No, we know that's not how a thief operates. A thief is creeping around in the shadows. They're hunting for an opportunity in which to strike. No, they're looking to see, hey, is there a house that someone regularly leaves? Is there a house in which there's people not there often? Or how about that car? Is there a car that I can break into? And since we know that, that's why we do things to prepare for the unexpected thief. You know, we set alarms in our homes or security cameras. We make sure we lock our doors. I know at my house, every now and then, at night if we're leaving, we'll have lights on in order to simulate there's someone being home, so no one is tempted to check and see. You know, we do things like that in order to prevent someone from showing up and stealing from our house. Or in the case of our vehicles, I'm sure is the case right now, most of us right now, our cars outside are locked. You know, so that no person will just look to steal our car, just walk right in and take off with it. So we make preparations in order to protect ourselves against those unexpected thieves. Well, likewise, we look at the return of Jesus. We don't know when Christ is going to return, as I've said. We don't know when those things are going to happen. It's going to be just as that thief, striking suddenly and without expectation. So right now, since we know it's going to happen, it's up to us to prepare for those things, just as we would for a thief. And certainly we know the way in which we prepare is found in God's Word and being obedient to God's Word. That's how we prepare for the coming of the Christ. We know that if we're not sticking true to God's Word, or if we're not following God's Word and just living life however we choose, it's very similar to that house that's left unlocked or that car that's left unlocked. It's just a simple opportunity for that thief to come in. And we consider a thief and know when a thief steals from us, what are the things that a thief would take? You know, they might take something of value, something that's going to help their wealth or, you know, fill their pockets. Every now and again, they might take something that might not necessarily be of value, but maybe it'll have sentimental value to us, and it's something that they have stolen. Certainly things that we don't want to lose and we would hate to lose, but ultimately we understand most physical things on this earth, you know, they can be replaced. You know, they're just physical things. Although certainly we still don't want to lose those. But let's think about this. If we do that much to protect the physical things on this earth, should we not be as concerned as protecting spiritual things? Because what is it that we stand to lose if we're not prepared for the coming of the Christ? Certainly, we're not going to lose the physical things of this earth. Well, I mean, ultimately we are, because we know all physical things are going to be destroyed. But what we truly stand to lose, if we're not prepared, is our souls. If we've not prepared, if we've not stuck true to God's Word, it's our souls that run the risk of eternal punishment when Christ returns. So certainly, we prepare. We take our time to prepare for that thief so that we're not losing our valuable items. If we're going to take time to prepare for a thief on this earth, we should also take the time to prepare for that day when Christ returns as that thief in the night, suddenly, without expectation, so that our souls will be saved and we'll have that eternal life waiting for us on that day. So again, we must always be prepared for whenever that day occurs. Again, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be swift. So let's take that time that we have today to prepare. Now, many of us, we're in here, we're talking about this, and we understand that these things are true, that the Lord will return one day. But unfortunately, we see throughout the world that there are scoffers. And every now and then, scoffers will make their way into the church. They'll make their way in amongst us, people who don't believe that the Lord will return. They question that. They call into question, is it true God will return? And it's interesting to think about those things. And we see Peter warn of those things in 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's fascinating to think, as we'll read here in a moment, Peter warning of those scoffers. And we consider the time period of, you know, maybe when 2 Peter was written. And we know that these things occurred not too long after Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. We know that obviously it wasn't too far in the future from that time, because, I mean, it's Peter writing this. Peter is still alive, still writing to the church, still serving the church. So we see that not a great deal of time has passed, yet there are scoffers still present. As a matter of fact, let's see that whenever we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3. It says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" So we see that there were individuals then that were coming in and saying, well, Jesus hasn't returned yet. Here we see individuals who were alive during Jesus' time, you know, people who were alive when Jesus ascended into heaven and were alive when they were told that same Jesus would return. And yet they're saying, well, now some of these people have died and Jesus is yet to return. So here they are calling into question, well, since He's not returned yet, maybe He's not going to return. Maybe we've got this all wrong and Jesus will never return. And again, this is such a short period of time after the resurrection took place, and people are already scoffing or calling into question these things. And so certainly fast forward 2,000 years later around that time, and we see what's taking place now. Some of the very things that was going on then. individuals scoffing at this idea or mocking this idea that Christ will return. And there are even individuals in the church, and though they might not verbally scoff at the idea or mock the idea of Jesus' return, but how do some individuals live? You know, unfortunately, there are those who, even though they may be attending church or wherever they may attend regularly, it might be the case that their lives or the things that they do in their life, they don't take seriously God's Word, or they don't take seriously that warning that Christ will return. And so they might not verbally say, well, Jesus hasn't returned yet, so He's not going to. But they live a life that says that thing. You know, they basically live a very wicked and evil life, not faithful to God's Word. And so we have to be very cautious for those things, and we have to make sure that those things aren't tempting us and aren't causing us to stumble, so that we're always being prepared for that day of when Christ returns. And Peter gives us some advice to kind of help with that and to encourage us to continue to look forward to Christ's return. We flip ahead in verse 8 of chapter 3. Peter says in verse 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So Peter reminds us, if you're concerned about the time period that's passed and that's making you think, well, maybe Christ won't return, he's saying, look, consider the fact that God is ultimately in control of time. God is over time. You know, as he says there, 1,000 years is to God as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. In other words, God is in control of time. He has the time planned out. He has everything worked out in which those things will occur. So God knows when that time is, that perfect time in which Christ should return. And so Peter reminds us, look, we don't need to be scoffing at the idea or doubting the idea, because we need to know with certainty that God's already worked it out. Just because it hasn't happened yet, we know it's in the plan. God is just waiting for that time that He has dictated in which the Lord will return. So while the Lord has yet to return, and who knows, it may be another 2,000 years before those things take place. Or it could be today. It could be tomorrow. We don't know. And it's for that very reason we must prepare, because we do know that He will return whenever that day is. And we look a little further ahead in verse 10, Peter giving that same warning that we read from Jesus, saying, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So again, that suddenness, that immediacy in which Christ will return that we don't expect. So that's why we have to continue to be prepared. And Peter tells us the importance of this in verse 14 when he states, "Therefore," so everything that we've just looked at and everything that we've just considered, he says, "Therefore, for this very reason, basically, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless." So he says, since we know the Lord's in control of time, since we know that the Lord will return as a thief in the night, since we know that those things are true, Peter tells us, be prepared. Be diligent. Always working. And that's the best way in which we can prepare for that unknown date in which the Lord will return, is that we spend our lives being diligent, always studying, always learning more, and always being and following what this Word, what God's Word tells us. You know, that's the only way in which we can prepare. And we understand that if we are prepared, if we're preparing in that sort of way, then that day in which Christ returns, you know, it's going to be a wonderful day. It's a day to look forward to, in all honesty. You know, in our diligence and our working, it should excite us. And we should, in a sense, be hoping that that day will come soon, because we're prepared, we're ready, and we're excited for that day. However, we understand that if we're not prepared, that day is a day to fear. So let's spend this time now that we have to prepare, Because certainly in our hope for that glory, we must be steadfast in the truth. As we look forward to that day, we need to be constant in the truth of God's Word. So as we've considered these words, again, we are reminded and we understand that one day Jesus will come back. Now let's consider, as a final mention, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, there we see Jesus ascending into heaven. Jesus is ascending back to heaven to return to the Father. And it's interesting to look and see what the disciples are doing during this time. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" So there we read this, and we're reminded that just as Jesus ascended into heaven, likewise, he will return. And just as it was true then, that is true today. Jesus will return one day. And again, that day, it could be soon forth, it could be during our lifetime, or who knows, it might not occur during our lifetime. But it's because of that uncertainty of when that day will occur, yet our certainty that it will occur, we must be prepared. If we don't prepare, then we might find ourselves like those people in the days of Noah, or a victim of a thief, you know, someone who has stolen from you, or those individuals in that day of Noah, there they are outside of the ark, suffering from the flood, too late to do anything about it because they didn't heed God's warning. However, if we are prepared, then we have that safety. The Scriptures, God's Word, can act as an ark for us, so to speak. Just as we know Noah and his family were saved from the flood, if we're standing firm on God's Word and we're following God's Word, then we know we're protected from that destruction when the world is destroyed and everything comes to an end. We know we've got a home in heaven waiting for us. And certainly that's something that we can look forward to. And it's for that reason why today, while we have time, we need to use this time to prepare for the coming of the Christ. At this very moment, since we're alive, since we're here, the Lord hasn't returned yet, it's not too late. We have time to prepare right now. However, a day is coming when it will be. So with that in mind, if you're here this morning and you're not prepared for the coming of the Christ, maybe it is the case that you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Put Christ on in baptism. As we read in passages like Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who doesn't believe will be condemned." If you've heard that warning and you're ready to put Christ on in baptism for the remission of your sins and begin that walk with Christ, dedicating your life to serving Christ from now till the end of time, then we can help you with that this morning. Or maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you've not lived a faithful Christian life. You've fallen away. You've become like those scoffers who question the return of Christ. And maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. You need forgiveness of those sins and encouragement to once again walk in the light and continue to follow Christ as a faithful Christian. Just whatever your need may be, let it be made known as we